First American coronavirus death, New Hampshire debate fallout. I'm Bart Necker. A United States citizen has died from the coronavirus in Wuhan, China. Jeff McKay reports this would be the first confirmed death of an American from the outbreak.
The report comes from the Jingyentan Hospital in Wuhan, the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak. The U.S. Embassy spokesman in Beijing says on Saturday the person was identified as a woman approximately 60 years of age. She had underlying health conditions. The Chinese Foreign Ministry reports there have been 19 cases of foreigners infected with the coronavirus, of which two have been discharged from the hospital. 17 were quarantined and treated. However, this would be the first case of an American dying from the virus. China reports the death toll from the coronavirus has pushed past 700, with over 34,000 infected. Jeff McKay, Washington.
With Senator Bernie Sanders leading in most recent polls in New Hampshire, he became a target early on in Friday night's Democratic presidential debate. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum says Sanders' political identity was labeled a liability.
Joe Biden said it was a big risk for Sanders to be the party's nominee because every other Democrat running for office would also be labeled a socialist.
The president wants very much to stick a label on every candidate. We're going to not only have to win this time, we have to bring along the United States Senate.
Sanders was asked by ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
Why shouldn't Democrats be worried?
Because Donald Trump lies all the time.
Pete Buttigieg took some hits for his experience being limited to leading a city of just 100,000 people.
I think there's a better way. You know, it's true. The American people are ready. There's a historic majority right now.
Steve Kastenbaum at St. Anselm College in Manchester, New Hampshire.
A Friday night massacre has Washington reeling as President Trump first got rid of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman as Ukraine expert. His twin brother was ousted as National Security Council lawyer. And a wealthy Trump donor is out of a job. I'm Bart Necker.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
More Americans are using online dating sites or apps. More from Jan Johnson.
3 out of every 10 adults who were asked by Pew Research say they've used an online dating platform, some 11% in just the past year. And more than 1 in 10 say they've found marriage or a committed relationship that way. Younger adults, as well as those who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, are especially likely to go online for dating, although the people who answered the survey also seemed a bit ambivalent about the results. Fully half saying dating sites and apps don't really have a big positive or negative impact on dating and relationships. I'm Jan Johnson.
California utilities will continue to shut off electricity during dangerous fire conditions to prevent sparking deadly wildfires. Plans submitted Friday with state regulators say outages will continue to be deployed. I'm Bart Nick.
Paid for by Bank on Yourself. Paid for by Bank on Yourself.
Would you get on an airplane if you knew it had a 50% chance of crashing? You may be riding that plane right now. If you have your money in a 401k or IRA and you plan to take out the recommended percentage each year when you retire, your chance of running out of money is 50%. 50%. But there's a better and safer way to secure your income in retirement. Discover how in a free book called Rescue Your Retirement. This wealth building strategy has never had a losing year in more than a century. In fact, even the man who invented the 401k now prefers this method instead. Get Rescue Your Retirement free for just a small shipping charge and enjoy a safe landing and a comfortable retirement. Get this free book and make sure you don't run out of money.
Hurry, this offer is extremely limited. To get your free copy, just go to GrowWealthSafely.com. That's GrowWealthSafely.com to discover how to rescue your retirement. GrowWealthSafely.com.
Hey, it's Chris Plant, and I have some exciting news. With the overwhelming demand for our 2020 Alaska Sea Cruise this summer, and over 100 listeners already signed up, we've just been able to secure extended discounted prices for our group. If you're looking for a great vacation this summer, join me and other like-minded travelers 7 days cruising beautiful, breathtaking Alaska, beginning August 5th on Regent Seven Seas luxurious all-suite Mariner. Alaska is an amazing place, plus sailing on Regent, everything is included. Round-trip airfare, unlimited shore excursions, fine dining, unlimited beverages, including fine wines and spirits, free Wi-Fi, free in-suite minibar, and a $500 per suite shipboard credit. So join us and make new friends aboard our 2020 Alaska Sea Cruise. Call the travel store today at 800-777-6540, 800-777-6540, or visit chrisplantcruise.com.
We begin with Broad Branch Road in northwest D.C., northbound and southbound directions between 27th Street and Nebraska Avenue. That roadway is closed due to a downed tree. In northeast D.C., 4th Street, northbound and southbound directions between Rhode Island Avenue and Bryant Street. That roadway is closed due to that long-term building construction. In northwest D.C., Ingraham Street, eastbound and westbound directions between 14th Street and 13th Street, closed for water main repairs. In Bethesda, the I-270 spur southbound at Democracy Boulevard. That road construction there has the left lane closed.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Smart investing is more than buying or selling at the right time. To be a truly wise investor, you have to consider the bigger picture, including how your investment choices impact both your taxes and larger goals. Hi, this is Chase Hinderstein with the Wise Investor Group and co-host of the Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning at 9 here on WMAL.
Chase Hinderstein and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Merritt & Company, Incorporated. To reach Chase, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media.
Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that advanced your career skills and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? Find out more. Text RESULT to 79645. Start on the path to earning your MBA or Business Analytics Master's degree online from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the graduate programs from the top-ranked W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University offered 100% online. Text RESULT to 79645. That's RESULT to 79645.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update.
105.9 FM.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton in producing this morning. Obviously, a lot to cover today. Democratic debate on a Friday night, but at least it was on ABC. Prime time. We'll talk about that in a minute. Impeachment finally over, at least this round. The acquittal of the president. Democrats, they're not giving up. Still threatening to continue on in their investigations of the president and possible re-impeach. Unbelievable. State of the Union address. You saw the friction between the president and Nancy Pelosi. We'll get into that this morning. But first, I thought we would update you on the coronavirus, because the United States Embassy in China has confirmed today that a 60-year-old American man infected with coronavirus died at a hospital in Wuhan province on Thursday. That is the first known American death from the outbreak. It's been declared an emergency by the World Health Organization now. At the latest count, the virus has infected nearly 35,000 people worldwide, killing more than 726. About 800 Americans and their family members have been evacuated from Wuhan province. The coronavirus outbreak was there originally. They're being kept in quarantine on U.S. military bases under the care of doctors from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. China will now investigate after the whistleblower doctor died from coronavirus this week. The CDC is reporting that as of Friday, 21 cases of coronavirus have been confirmed in the U.S. across six states, includes Arizona, California, Illinois, Massachusetts, the state of Washington, and Wisconsin. The Democratic debate was last night after the debacle in Iowa, and we'll get into that as well. John Gizzi was in, he was in Iowa, heading to New Hampshire now. We'll talk with John coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, and also we'll have comments from Cheryl Atkinson this morning. We'll talk with KT McFarland. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer's on the way, Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times, and we'll talk with Jim Trusty, attorney at IFRA Law, and we'll have a wrap on the impeachment proceedings from a legal perspective, and also a look at MS-13, a troubling story out of the state of New York this week, and we'll talk about that with Jim Trusty a bit later on. But the debate, as I say, Democratic debate last night in New Hampshire, and wow, it kind of started off with a thud. Joe Biden starts off by lowering expectations. If you're a Biden supporter and you've been a little skittish recently about Joe, this is not, in my opinion, the way you start the first song of your concert set.
I took a hit in Iowa, and I'll probably take a hit here. Traditionally, Bernie won by 20 points last time, and usually it's the neighboring senators that do well.
So that's Joe Biden lowering his expectations, and it was interesting to watch the debate. I'm not the only one that dozed off during it. It wasn't that bad. It was just it was okay. It was okay. I'm serious. I dozed off. Jeff dozed off. But then again, we had to get up early this morning. But I did watch it. I watched the aftermath. And let's pull some of the clips we have here for you. It was a night to sort of get on Pete Buttigieg, because after Iowa, although we don't exactly know who really won in Iowa, because the still trying to figure out the votes, they want to re-canvass. I think that means recount, doesn't it? When you say re-canvass, it's the polite way of saying recount. You know, you have a recount when there's a tie in a really official election. You have a re-canvass when you don't want to admit how badly you screwed up the process. So that's why there is a re-canvass, I guess, and not a recount in Iowa. But Iowa's in the rearview mirror, but Pete Buttigieg is on the radar screen, and they went into it. Here's Joe Biden on Mayor Pete.
He's a mayor of a small city who has done some good things, but has not demonstrated he has the ability to, and we'll soon find out, to get a broad scope of support across the spectrum, including African Americans and Latinos.
Tom Steyer was there, of course, the wealthy businessman that had launched the impeachment campaign back in 2017, wearing that same tie. That same tie. You know the one I mean? The plaid tie. Looks like he wore it in high school. He wears it every day. This guy is a gabillionaire, and he's got one tie. Whatever. Well, he launched into Mayor Pete, too.
We need people with experience. That's why I'm worried about Mayor Pete. You need to be able to go toe-to-toe with this guy and take him down on the debate stage, or we're going to lose.
You need to get another tie. Amy Klobuchar launched into Pete Buttigieg as well.
It is much harder to lead and much harder to take those difficult positions, because I think this going after every single thing that people do because it's popular to say and makes you look like a cool newcomer.
It was kind of interesting. There was one moment when George Stephanopoulos asked the candidates if they were troubled. Any of them were troubled about having a Democratic socialist possibly ending up as the Democratic presidential candidate. And there was no movement. There was silence. And all of a sudden, Amy Klobuchar finally raised her hand. None of the other ones had the nerve to stand up to Bernie Sanders. I thought that was interesting. You know, cut them by surprise. Well, Bernie is a target because of the cost of his health care program, and Joe Biden won't let you forget that.
But he's unwilling to sell us what the damn thing's going to cost. The fact that we're in New Hampshire, a very level-headed group of people, look at the numbers. How much is it going to cost? Who's going to pay for it? It will cost more than the entire federal budget we spend now.
So that's Joe Biden on Bernie Sanders. I thought this was interesting. This is the ABC analysis. The debate was on ABC. So after the debate, Martha Raddatz is kind of leading the discussion. ABC's Byron Pitts, one of the reporters, and ABC's Jonathan Carl. So Martha asks Byron Pitts first about the candidates and how they would fare against President Trump.
Byron, do you think anybody, or who did it best, to prove to voters that they could beat Donald Trump?
Frankly, I don't think anyone did a great job of it. I mean, I think they all make usual arguments, but I was struck by, next to going after Donald Trump, they all went after Michael Bloomberg. So I thought he may have fared worse of anyone.
And John Carl, just very quickly, you had about 3 seconds here. Who do you think stood out in terms of going after Donald Trump? You deal with Donald Trump every single day.
First of all, obviously the candidate that he feared most early on was Joe Biden. That is not the case anymore. And I don't think there was anybody, based on tonight's performance, that has the Trump campaign quaking in their boots.
And that was Jonathan Carl. Well, that's a look at the Democratic debate from last night. It's about all you need to know. We did it in 15 minutes instead of you having to spend 2.5 hours and the analysis and everything else. It is time for a check of the traffic and weather on the Saturday morning update. And Gavin Montgomery is in the WMAL traffic center.
And we begin this report with the ICC eastbound between Shady Grove Road at the overpass and Georgia Avenue. We've got that roadway closed due to construction. In Oxon Hill, the outer loop of the beltway at I-295, we've got reports of an accident that has two lanes blocked. That right lane and left center lane remain blocked due to the crash. Georgia Avenue at Medical Park Drive in Silver Spring, we've got reports of an accident there, but no further details as of this report. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, it is chilly outside this morning. It is below freezing around the Washington area, so a lot of moisture from yesterday, a lot of rain, a lot of water still flowing, so beware of some ice where you might not anticipate it on a normal morning. For the day, look for partly cloudy skies, a high of 46 later on, down to 28 tonight. Sunny tomorrow, a high of 50. Showers on Monday, high 55. Morning showers Tuesday, high 58. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high 47. 30 degrees in Northern Virginia, 30 degrees in D.C., and it's 6:20 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL, and it is good to have you with us. A lot of talk this week, obviously, about the outcome of the impeachment, and the president was not contrite at all. You know, a lot of people were hoping that he might apologize to the American people after his impeachment. You may remember Bill Clinton offered an apology, and this is what people were, or some people, the media, the Democrats, this is what they were hoping to hear from President Trump.
I want to say again to the American people how profoundly sorry I am.
Well, that's not exactly the way President Trump looks at it. The president was speaking, and clearly President Trump looks at it differently.
It was dirty cops. It was leakers and liars. Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit.
So that's how President Trump feels about it. Different attitude than President Clinton had. About apologies, the president did feel that he owed an apology, but only to his family.
For having them have to go through a phony, rotten deal by some very evil and sick people.
So that's some sense of how the president is feeling about impeachment, and he really aired it out at the White House. Had a meeting with a lot of folks, somewhat of a celebration, and some of those cuts there were from that speech at the White House. Well, Nancy Pelosi, did you see the State of the Union address? Wow. Nancy Pelosi rips up the speech after that. And this gives you a sense of what her feelings are about the president to begin with. And just listen to the vitriol in her voice.
He's impeached forever, no matter what he says or whatever headlines he wants to carry around.
Wow. A lot of people asked Nancy Pelosi why she tore up the speech, and here's how she explained it.
It was necessary to get the attention of the American people to say, this is not true, and this is how it affects you. And I don't need any lessons from anybody, especially the President of the United States, about dignity.
Whew. You can just hear it in her voice. Did you see her sitting behind the president? Did you see how uncomfortable she was? It's 6:24. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Listen, if you're moving, relocating, combining households, or you're just tired of paying your mortgage, I have one piece of advice for you. Talk to Renters Warehouse right now. Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and whether you have one property or a portfolio of 10, renting is so much better than selling. And now the friendly folks at Renters Warehouse are making it easier than ever before. Renters Warehouse will price your property right and find awesome tenants in just days. And for a low, flat monthly fee, they'll manage all the grunt work 24/7. Rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork, gone, done, off your plate. There are no upfront fees, and Renters Warehouse will even warranty your renters, meaning in most cases, if your tenant doesn't stay, they'll replace them for free. Go to RentersWarehouse.com to book your free home rental price appointment today, or call 202-625-4370. That's 202-625-4370, Renters Warehouse. What will your home rent for?
You know what one of my favorite jobs is as a business owner? Sharing Goodfeet stories. Now I've shared my story, how I love the Goodfeet Arch Support so much that I bought the store, but here is another Goodfeet story I received recently from a customer named Betsy. I was at my wit's end. I had tried several arch supports and visited doctors in an effort to regain some mobility. I had heard about the Goodfeet store, so I drove over and limped in with a walking cane. I was met by Jackie, and so began my freedom to move again. She fitted me, and once I walked around the store, I knew I'd found the answer to foot pain. Then came the question, how much? Knowing what I know now, I'd pay five times as much. I've walked off 75 pounds, and I'm still going. I just celebrated my 71st birthday, so don't let anyone tell you you're too old or it's too late. It's not. Fix your feet and keep moving. Thank you, Jackie, and the Goodfeet Store. Isn't it time to get your Goodfeet story? I'm Jonathan Cotton. Come on in for your free fitting and test walk of the Goodfeet Store in Richmond, Newport News, Fairfax, or Rockville, Maryland.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
Pop quiz. If you sell a home for $500,000, how much would a traditional real estate agent charge in commission? If you guessed $25,000 to $30,000, you're right. But if you think that's the only way, you're wrong. This is why thousands of homeowners are making the switch to Rex. With Rex, you get a dedicated agent and a full-service experience at a fraction of the cost. Rex uses game-changing technology to cut out the middleman and save homeowners tens of thousands of dollars in fees. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. Remember, this is your home. Why give an insane amount of equity away to an agent? Rex offers the lowest fee in the industry without skimping on service. You'll work with an experienced real estate team with you every step of the way. Get the most out of your home. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. 833-REX-HOME.
REO 2002-00541.
Minimum fee may apply. Not licensed in all 50 states. Visit rexhomes.com to see if Rex is available in your area. Rex fully supports the principles of the Fair Housing Act and Equal Opportunity Act.
Hi, I'm Brian Scudamore from 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
You only brought two of them?
These two can do anything.
Are you saying those online reviews are real?
Point at something you wish would disappear, ma'am.
Well, I'd like to see that gone. Those online reviews are real. What are you doing now?
Junk always leaves a footprint, so I'm sweeping up the spot where it was.
Wow.
Our goal is to bring the springtime and give you more space for living.
I could use some extra space right here. And here, and here. Gosh, that was easy.
All you have to do is point.
You were here in less than 90 minutes.
And we work until midnight, 7 days a week.
Well, now I have a new problem.
Oh?
If I write an online review and tell the truth about what just happened, no one's going to believe me.
Welcome to our world, ma'am.
When you want junk to disappear,
all you have to do is point. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Good to have you with us. A lot of attention, obviously, on Joe Biden. And remember tough guy Joe Biden when he was very, very bold. And at one point, you know, he said he wanted to take Donald Trump out and they would, have a little dust up outside. This was a while back in one of the campaigns. He said, hey, you know, we'll take this outside. Well, you may remember this one. You've heard this one a lot from Joe Biden about beating Donald Trump like a drum.
He doesn't want me to be the candidate. He's going after me because he knows if I get the nomination, I will beat him like a drum.
So Joe Biden going to beat him like a drum. But Joe Biden in Iowa, he got beaten. And here's how Joe Biden summed it up himself.
I am not going to sugarcoat it. We took a gut punch in Iowa. The whole process took a gut punch. But look, this isn't the first time in my life I've been knocked down.
What a difference a day makes. Anyway, we're going to talk a little more about Iowa this morning, obviously, with John Gizzi, because he was in Iowa, went out there for the vote count that never took place. Interesting. We'll get to that shortly. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will take a look at some of the global headlines this morning.
Within every day, there is a moment that takes our breath away. From luxurious days, afternoons spent in sumptuous spa suites, cashing in on the biggest payout, or basking in thrilling shows at the Hall at Live. Moments like these last through lifetimes. Live Casino and Hotel. Seize every moment. Just off the BW Parkway. Visit livecasinohotel.com for details. Must be 21. Please play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Federal investigators say that wreckage from the helicopter that crashed last month, killing Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others, did not show any evidence of engine failure. That is according to a report by the National Transportation Safety Board. The helicopter crashed into a hillside outside Los Angeles on January 26th. The NTSB is investigating the accident, including any role played by heavy fog. A final report is not expected for at least a year. A witness told the NTSB that the helicopter was flying forward and downward through the fog before it crashed into the hill. The number of confirmed cases of the new virus, coronavirus, again in China, has increased, up to 722 fatalities so far. The ruling Communist Party facing anger and recriminations from the public over the death of a doctor who was threatened by police after trying to sound the alarm about the disease over a month ago. The U.S. Embassy in Beijing says a 60-year-old U.S. citizen diagnosed with coronavirus died in Wuhan, apparently the first American fatality of the outbreak. China's government says another 3,400 people have been diagnosed over the last 24 hours. It reverses 2 days of declines, raises the total number of cases to 34,546. Three more cruise ship passengers were diagnosed with the virus in Japan. That's a total of 64 in Japan. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton's team is accusing the White House of trying to suppress his unpublished book. This after word surfaced that the National Security Council had sent him a letter expressing concerns that the manuscript contains classified information. The White House has been scrutinizing Bolton's book. It is due out next month, scrutinizing it for classified materials as part of a standard pre-publication review process. Bolton advisor Sarah Tinsley issued a statement yesterday. She acknowledged that a letter from the NSC had been sent to Bolton's lawyer. She said Bolton was reviewing the letter and would respond. She said John Bolton continues to believe that the manuscript contains no legitimately classified material. President Trump Friday reassigned Alexander Vindman, the lieutenant colonel, who was a key figure in the impeachment hearings. That was 2 days after the acquittal of President Trump. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman has been reassigned to the Department of the Army. Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, will be recalled by President Trump. And as we mentioned, the presidential debates took place in New Hampshire last night. Frontrunners Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg beating back a barrage of attacks during the debate in New Hampshire, the top presidential contenders clashing repeatedly over experience and who would be best to beat Donald Trump. The debate testing the strength of a new frontrunner, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and the struggling former vice president, as the Associated Press labels it, Joe Biden, of course, as well as Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Biden, raising questions about Sanders' status as a Democratic socialist, warned Democratic voters that Trump and his allies would use the socialism label in congressional elections as well as the presidential voting. Time for a check of the traffic and weather at 6:34, and Gavin Montgomery's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
And good morning. We begin this report with Broad Branch Road in Northwest D.C., northbound and southbound directions between 27th Street and Nebraska Avenue. You'll find that roadway is closed due to a downed tree. And in Northwest D.C., Ingraham Street, eastbound and westbound directions in Northwest between 14th Street and 13th Street, closed due to water main repairs. And the outer loop of the Beltway at I-295 and Oxon Hill, we had a previously reported incident. That incident's now been wrapped up and it is cleared. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Looks partly cloudy today with a high of 46. Sunshine tomorrow, high 50. Showers on Monday, high 55. Tuesday morning showers, high 58. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high 47. 30 degrees in Northern Virginia, 30 degrees in D.C., and 30 degrees in Montgomery County. 6:35, Saturday morning update.
Hi, Larry O'Connor here to tell you about our friends over at New Look Home Design. They're running a fantastic deal right now to ensure your roof and your wallet is well protected. Now, you might be thinking, Larry, my roof does need some serious TLC, but I've recently been quoted an outrageous amount by one of our neighborhood's local contractors. Well, you're in luck, because while most contractors do a walk around and glance at your property and they whip up an estimate, New Look uses state-of-the-art software to build a detailed estimate outlining every measure point of the roof with a full measure report, so you know exactly what you're paying for. Listen to this great offer. For one more week, if you call New Look, you can save 50% off roofing. Plus, there's no payments and no interest until 2021. They're a roofing company that you can trust to do it right. Call New Look Home Design today for a completely free estimate. 800-279-5300, or check them out online at newlookhomedesign.com. It's the right way to roof.
It is a Saturday morning update. Glad that you have joined us this morning and glad that Jennifer Harper has joined us. She writes inside the Beltway Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
President Trump's been on a roll, and especially when it comes to the polls. What have you got?
Well, it's been quite the week, hasn't it? And just incredible. And it's always ironic when you see how much Mr. Trump's foes throw at him, and it just doesn't seem to get anywhere. And I've got some numbers, and it's all about Gallup. I always pay attention to Gallup. But they reported this week that President Trump is currently enjoying the highest favorability ratings of his presidency, 49% approval rating. And this is the highest that Gallup has polled him since he took office in 2017. And but that's not all, folks, because they're also reporting that America's confidence in the economy is higher than at any point in the past two decades. I repeat, in the past two decades. And this is all coming out this week after all the shenanigans from our friends over in the Democratic Party. Again, this is a Gallup poll. And anyway, 63% of Americans now approve of the way Trump is handling the economy. Again, this is from Gallup. And the pollster also has some very good news about how the citizens think of themselves. And Americans' views on their personal financial situation have been climbing since 2018 and are now at or near record highs in Gallup's trends. In their trends, the whole trends, and nothing but the trends. Anyway, 59%, nearly 6 in 10 Americans now say they are better off financially than they were a year ago. This is up from 50% last year. Again, this is Gallup we're talking about. And I think that there's another very interesting finding, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, people are going to get over how they feel about the finances. Well, no, Gallup is proving them wrong. In addition to United States adults' highly positive report on their current financial situations, Americans are also expressing peak optimism about their future personal financial situation. 3 in 4 U.S. adults, 74%, predict they will be better off financially a year from now, the highest in Gallup's trend since 1977. So that's a bunch of good numbers for this morning.
More good numbers for Trump and the GOP, and that's fundraising numbers. What is the latest there?
Well, yeah, gosh, it's stupefying because I'm not a math person, and I see all these numbers, and here we go. But we can't overlook these things because the Trump campaign sort of very quietly revealed how much the money they made last year. And in terms of fundraising for Mr. Trump's reelection campaign, and here's the figure for the entire year for 2019, $463.5 million. How about that? Wow. And in the last quarter of the year, last 3 months of the year, $155.2 million. And that was raised again in the final quarter of 2019. This according to the campaign. And a lot of times when you hear these numbers, all of the Trump critics come out snarling and they want to say, oh, it's all about big money and Trump and big money and Trump, you know, that whole deal. Well, here's what the campaign reports. This is directly from them. In the fourth quarter, the president's campaign, 1.4 million individual donations, of which 98% were $200 or less. The average donation was $40.87. So that's kind of a little reality check about where those millions are coming from. And $40.87, there you go.
Pretty amazing numbers. Well, there was one number that the president was not happy about this week, and that was the one vote to convict that came from a Republican, and that was Mitt Romney. Not a lot of friends in the conservative circles.
No, not a lot of friends in conservative, and I would assume some Republican circles as well. But Mr. Romney still has some friends in the Mitt media. A lot of the news media, they've now have something brand new to write about, and they're kind of giving him a pretty nice chat this week. And news organizations like CNN and The Week were referring to Mr. Romney as the leader of the Republican resistance against Trump about 4 months ago. Well, guess what? They've started up that whole narrative again, calling him their leader of the Republican resistance and sort of giving it a noble cast. You know, the media is sort of revisiting the whole idea. In fact, NBC News has already declared that Mr. Romney is, quote, the president of the Republican resistance to Donald Trump. And this particular quote that I just told you about from NBC came from our friends over at the Newsbusters. They're tracking this because there's so much gushing and heroes welcome, they say, from the media towards Mr. Romney that they've got to track the whole trend about this. And also, you've got to remember that the Democrats are also going to try to figure out a new narrative about the impeachment, just kind of keep it going. So keep your eyes out about that, that there's going to be a new narrative about the impeachment, not just the one that we've had, that they lost that round. But they're probably going to go and say it really damaged a lot of people, you know, kind of the whole touchy-feely thing. So we'll have to see about that. And interestingly enough, Mr. Romney was quoted by the New York Times as saying this: "I want to be with my colleagues in the Senate. I don't want to be the skunk at the garden party. I don't want to have the disdain of Republicans across the country. So we want to be equal," and that's what Mr. Romney told the New York Times. And already there's been a conservative interest group, that's American Majority Action. They have launched a recall Romney effort with a public petition and so forth. And so that's recallmittromney.org.
Did you say someone had labeled him the president of the Republican resistance?
Yes, I did.
He's the only member of the Republican resistance. All right, let's turn to Iowa and New Hampshire. Wow. How embarrassing for the Democratic Party in Iowa. And how are they playing that in New Hampshire?
New Hampshire is having the time of their lives with this. I'll put it this way. The New Hampshire plans to eclipse Iowa. Because you may or may not know it, but their primary is on Monday, and certainly the Granite State takes this very, very seriously. And they know they're in the national spotlight, and they are first in the nation presidential primary, and they do take this very carefully. And it's only, 48 hours off, 24 hours off, however you want to go it. But anyway, their plans are to kind of eclipse Iowa, and it's been set up almost perfectly for them. And the New Hampshire Republican Party, I had to look in and see what they're doing, and they've got some official, very snappy red T-shirts, and the motto says, Iowa picks corn, New Hampshire picks president. So that's where they're coming from on that. And they're going to bill this as sort of must-have apparel, because they're bright red, and President Trump is going to be in New Hampshire on Monday for another one of his big jumbo campaign rallies. And here's what Stephen Stepanek, he is chairman of the Republican GOP in New Hampshire, based in Concord. He says, for the past 100 years, New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary has proven to be reliable. As Granite Staters, we take our responsibility to conduct the primary in a responsible, reliable, and efficient manner. And very seriously, that's how we've done it for the past 100 years, and this year will be no different. So you can watch New Hampshire have a pretty good time on Monday.
Well, ever since Beto O'Rourke dropped out of the campaign, we're not hearing much about Texas these days, but you do have one anecdotal story out of Texas?
Yes, I do. And this has to do with the musical Hamilton, and I think that musical, for as beautifully produced as it was and so forth, annoyed a lot of Republicans and conservatives. And, but they better get used to it because they're making a feature-length movie out of Hamilton at this very moment. But there's some folks in Texas that have their eye on the whole effect of the Hamilton. We have a stage play that the Obamas liked, and now there's going to be a feature movie, and the whole public got woken up to Alexander Hamilton himself and colonial history and so forth. Well, down in Texas, they're asking, do you remember the Alamo? Because they plan to make a musical, a Hamilton-like musical, out of the story of the Alamo. How about that? Anyway, a coalition of these Texans, they want to make sure that their state and the whole rest of the nation recall the iconic historical site in San Antonio. Very pivotal in Lone Star history, and they're taking a whole page out of the Alexander Hamilton playbook here. And they're calling their musical Remember. And they say to make sure the rest of America doesn't forget the Alamo or the story of Texas' fight for independence, The Tobin Endowment, that's down in San Antonio, in partnership with Remember the Alamo Foundation, has put the story of the Alamo and the movement for Texas independence to music. Now, they're doing this Texas style because there's going to be a 100-voice chorus and a 60-piece orchestra on the stage. And it's just an interesting Texas-y kind of thing to do. And this is what they have to say. It honors those who gave their lives for Texas. Stephen Austin, Sam Houston, Davy Crockett, Carlos Espalier, Jim Bowie, and William Barrett Travis sought better lives in Texas, a land of liberty, a land of new beginnings, a land of hope. That's what the organizers are saying. And they're also going to premiere this extravaganza Texas style in San Antonio at the month's end. So that's your report from Texas for this morning.
All right. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. Thank you very much. And you can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
6:47 Saturday morning updates, WMAL. We'll talk with Jim Trusty next. First, a check of the traffic and weather. Gavin Montgomery's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
We begin in northwest D.C. with Broad Branch Road, both northbound and southbound directions between 27th Street and Nebraska Avenue. That roadway still closed due to that downed tree. 4th Street, northbound and southbound directions between Rhode Island Avenue and Bryant Street. That roadway closed due to long-term building construction. Ingraham Street, northwest D.C., eastbound and westbound directions between 14th Street and 13th Street. That roadway closed for water main repairs. And now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
It looks cloudy today, high 46 for tomorrow, sunny, high 50. Showers on Monday, high 55. Morning showers Tuesday, high 58. Cloudy on Wednesday, high 47. In D.C., we're at 30 degrees and it's 6:47 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It's a Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we have been fortunate to be joined by Jim Trusty from IFRA Law over the past few weeks through the impeachment proceedings. And I thought I would have Jim back on this weekend to put things in perspective as to how it all played out in the Senate impeachment trial and the acquittal. Some of the Democratic threats to continue their investigations in hopes of possibly impeaching again. I believe it was Al Green said that we can impeach multiple times. So, Jim, can they impeach again for other issues or somehow come back on this issue?
Well, at the risk of being the most unpopular speaker on your show, yes, they can. They have the ability under the Constitution because it's not something that's subject to double jeopardy. You know, the Fifth Amendment and the double jeopardy protections that we all have extend to criminal cases, but impeachment is not a criminal case, so they have no basic limits on their ability to keep going back and hoping for a different result.
Could they revisit the Ukraine issue? In other words, if Bolton is subpoenaed and John Bolton comes out and verifies some of the things that have been reported in his book, casts the president in a very negative light, can they somehow reopen the Ukraine investigation, or do they start a new proceeding, a new impeachment on Ukraine?
Well, we've never seen it, so it's uncharted territory, but I would think that they would feel pretty compelled to at least characterize it as some sort of expanded or new event. There is no double jeopardy, but I think what they're doing, if they come back and say, we want to redo this, we've got some more information, they're pretty much baiting the Senate to dismiss it outright. And I think that's where McConnell probably would end up. He'd say, look, we've been down this road, we've suffered enough, and basically treat it as a misplaced civil case where somebody gets their case dismissed without any discovery, without any witnesses, but very early in the process.
As we watch the vote, of course, Mitt Romney spoke about his feelings as to why he voted to convict the president on the abuse of power article of impeachment. And what struck you about his presentation?
Well, to me, the issue was really trying to jibe the amount of angst he was describing with the powerful nature of the crimes that he was describing. You know, he used words such as this was an overwhelming situation of abuse of power, an overwhelming abuse of power by the president, and then turned around and said how he was waking up, you know, at 4 a.m. every single morning in agony trying to make a decision. And what strikes me is if you're so confident in the supreme guilt of President Trump in this circumstance, what's the inner tension? Why would it be something where you couldn't sleep every night? So I found that part to be a little overwrought in terms of the way he described it. And look, love him or hate him, Romney is in a position that's a little bit like McCain when McCain did the big thumbs down in Congress to thwart the president. You can't help but wonder if personal animus is a factor here, and that's just because they were, you know, at each other's necks long before this impeachment.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reiterates that the president will wear the label of impeached for eternity. President Trump held up the Washington Post and USA Today with the bold headlines, Trump acquitted. Where do you see the legacy of this whole impeachment process?
Well, I think the most worrisome part of it is really the precedent and the cheapening of the concept of impeachment. I mean, whatever the founding fathers meant by high crimes and misdemeanors, I think they wanted more than what we saw in the House. And so now we have a situation where presidents know they can be impeached for these very vague, very squishy terms, abuse of power, which sounds a lot like we don't like you, and obstruction of Congress, when there was really no obstruction on any legal level. There was just resistance to something that never went to court. So I'm a little concerned that that's what we're going to see, you know, in the future, is the use of impeachment as essentially a recall vote by politicians that just don't like the policies or the personality of the president.
Jim, while we've got you, I want to turn to MS-13. There's a story in the New York Times we'll get to in a second. But before you joined IFRA Law here in D.C., you had like a 28-year career as a prosecutor, most recently as the chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. So you have seen MS-13 cases in your experience. New York Times story, furor erupts over killing of witness in MS-13 gang case. And people very upset in New York about that. It also relates to some recent changes in the laws in New York. But without getting into the weeds, I just wanted to get a sense of what people should understand about MS-13.
Well, I had a long bout with MS-13. As a federal prosecutor in Maryland, I had a number of cases that I was a part of where we were prosecuting dozens and dozens of MS-13 members for RICO violations. I had death penalty trials. I had trips to El Salvador and then an organized crime and gang section. I was supervising a whole bunch of MS-13 cases. So I had my fill of this gang. I think the short version is they really need to be looked at as almost the modern day mafia. I mean, the mafia hasn't disappeared, but MS-13 has a lot of the hallmarks of the early days of the mafia. It's incredibly extensive across this country at this point. They regenerate very quickly. They're disciplined, and they are in the business of retaliating against witnesses. This is very much like the mafia had the omerta, the code of silence, where you had to be quiet if law enforcement was trying to jack you up to talk against the mob bosses. It's the exact same, maybe on steroids, with MS-13. If there's even a suspicion that somebody is cooperating with law enforcement, a green light is issued, meaning there's a standing order to kill, and the gang will do what they can. So locking up five people, for instance, and knowing that there's a witness that's out there is incredibly unsafe territory. Maybe those five people can't get to them because they're locked up, but the gang has people on the streets, and they have a lot of willing soldiers that would retaliate if they've given the chance.
We as lay people will see MS-13 mentioned in a headline, but you point out the severity there. And what else does the public not understand about the magnitude of MS-13, the issues involved, and what we really need to do about it?
Well, I think what's probably not fully understood is really the depth of the threat to the criminal justice system that they pose as a criminal enterprise. And what I mean by that is, I mean, this is their primary mission, is to control turf and to basically intimidate, threaten, or kill anyone that stands in their way. And so taking that step of being a witness, whether you were part of the gang or not, opens up an entire group to the interest in killing you. It incentivizes an entire group of people to find you and punish you, which means killing you. So there are a lot of murders that happen that are at the hands of MS-13, where it is either anticipating a potential discipline problem, cooperation problem, or retaliating for it. And I've seen firsthand defendants on trial for their lives spending the trial basically exposing cooperators, flashing hand signals at them in front of the jury, just telling them, even if I die in this trial, you're going to get it eventually. And that's the kind of brazenness with which they act. And they're, again, pretty much all over the United States and in Central America. And I've even talked to prosecutors in Italy and Spain and Australia over the years about MS-13 activity that happened there. So it's a serious threat. It's akin to the mafia, and it's got the violence that you might associate with ISIS.
We have a lot of staffers and congressmen and senators, for that matter, and local politicians that listen to WMAL. What would your message be to them about MS-13?
Well, I think the message has to be that you can't underestimate how damaging they are to criminal justice and how much they can really destroy communities by running roughshod over the law. So for a legislature, I would say, look, you know, focus on a few things. One is, no matter how progressive you want to be about bail, recognize that if you're part of a criminal enterprise, you're part of a very dangerous octopus, and locking up one or two people and letting others out is not going to safeguard anybody. So bail reform maybe needs to have some carve-outs if there's some credible allegation of MS-13 membership, I would say. The other thing is to focus resources and really educational efforts on witness protection. And that might mean having states really mimic the WITSEC program that the feds frequently use, but finding ways to separate people out of the community, either short-term or long-term, so they don't end up being a statistic like this young man up in Long Island. And then lastly, and this is really the lawyer's part of it, is to recognize, to have real judicial involvement over the discovery process, over the information sharing process, because that's the real thorny issue. Defense attorney needs to understand the case and know what's coming at them to advise their client, but sometimes that also means the gang finds out the identity of a person long before any trial is going to occur, and that's a very dangerous recipe. So I think those are kind of the areas that senators and congressmen and local representatives need to focus on the most.
Jim Trusty, thank you for some very enlightening information on a very serious problem that a lot of people aren't quite as aware of as they should be. Thank you very much. Jim Trusty at IFRA Law.
Thank you, Rick.
6:58, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. We've got the 7 o'clock news coming up next with Heather Curtis. Then we're back with John Gizzi. We'll talk with Cheryl Atkison, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and K.T. McFarland in the 7 o'clock hour.
Teresa could barely walk. For 15 years, she'd been collecting different insoles from drugstores and cushions from the internet. Nothing seemed to help the plantar fasciitis in her feet. When Teresa came into the Good Feet store, we took an impression of her feet and measured her arches to find where the pressure wasn't evenly distributed. Next, we had her do a simple balance test. Her eyes widened. Teresa immediately knew these were nothing like the flimsy drugstore products. This was a lifetime product with structure, fit with precision. She had total balance, and 15 years of pain went down the drain. Years later, I still see Teresa because she sends everyone she knows to the Good Feet store. Hi, I'm Jonathan Cotton, and I was just like Teresa, suffering from plantar fasciitis. But then I tried Good Feet Arch Support, and I was so impressed by the results, I bought the store. If you have plantar fasciitis, back pain, knee pain, or even hip pain, come by the Good Feet store for your free personalized fitting and test walk. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner and Rockville, Maryland on Rockville Pike, and coming soon to Leesburg.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. $1,000. Four chances for you each weekday. The $1,000 Fast Money keyword. WMAL, a Cumulus station.